Come, my brothers and sisters, let us lift up our eyes to the one who is enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so let us look to the Lord our God until He is gracious unto us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to lift up our eyes to the one who is enthroned in the heavens. We come, O Lord, and we ask for your grace. We know that you are willing, you are ready, you love us so much that your grace will be sufficient for all of our needs. Come and bless us together, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture text this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 16. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 through verse 16. Let us hear the word of God. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reviling or reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. And we'll conclude there this morning the reading and hearing of God's holy word. When I was a child, I remember my parents talking about dog days. Dog days was a reference to the hottest days of summer in July and August. There was a superstition or old wives' tale that it could get so hot in those months that even dogs would go mad. I do remember on occasion being told about dogs in our neighborhood that had gone mad during dog days. All the children were told to stay inside the house until the dog could be found and killed with a gun. Now those things have an impact upon you as a child. And I'll never forget the feeling of wanting to stay inside and the picture in my mind of this mad dog loose in our neighborhood and maybe coming into our yard, the yard of our house. Probably the mad dog, which did come into our neighborhood on occasion, had nothing to do with the heat of summer. But probably it was a case of a dog having rabies. You know, like Old Yeller. But nonetheless, I was scared to death of a mad dog. Peter refers to the prophet Balaam as being mad in verse 16. But he, that is Balaam, received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. This was a man gone mad, like a mad dog with rabies. The word madness here in this text comes from two Greek words. Beside, one, the mind, two. Beside the mind, out of your mind. You don't think rationally as God allows us to think thoughts after Him. Peter thus describes Balaam as an example of a man who was mad. Not just angry, but out of his mind. Today we would use the words insane, lacking sanity. And you know the story about Balaam, a prophet hired. Have prophecy, we'll travel. For money. He was willing to do anything for money. He did have a gift of prophecy. He was hired by the princes of Moab to curse Israel. Curse God's people, they told him. And he was so driven to do so. He was so mad. He was so obsessed that God had to put an angel in the way of his donkey that only the donkey could see. And Balaam beat his donkey 3 times. And the donkey spoke up. Talking animals, just like on television. He said, "Why are you beating me? Have I not been good to you? There's an angel in front of me with a sword." God was trying to stop Balaam. And He even used the voice of a man taking over an animal and speaking. I tell you what, if an animal started speaking to me, I'd be having second thoughts about what I was doing. If I was driving down the road and saw a dog cross the road and he looked at me and said, "Mary Ball, you stop that. It's feeding. You might hurt me." I said, "Okay. Okay." But Balaam was so mad that even the speaking of a donkey didn't stop him. It took a donkey to slow him down, but it didn't stop him. And that's the concept of madness. And he did it because of the wages of unrighteousness in verse 15. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, he did it to get paid. He did it for the money. He was mad. Nobody could change his way. He was set on self-destruction, and nobody, not even a speaking donkey, could change him. And Peter calls that madness, insanity. He was out of his mind. In verse 15, he says, "Forsaking the way, they have gone astray." And I think Peter connects this to the people who were living in the time of those to whom he was writing. He's not only talking about Balaam, but he's talking about others who were living at the time he was writing. And he's talking about people who once professed to be Christians, and as we'll see later on, have apostatized. They've left the faith. They've left the church. Or maybe they're still in church and living in hypocrisy. But they're persistent in destroying themselves. They've become insane. That's how Peter uses the term insanity. Being set on a pathway of self-destruction, and nothing, not even a talking animal will turn you back. That's what I call being set in my ways. When I was a child, my mother said I was stubborn, and I still am, I guess. That's what you call being stubborn. People who have reached the stage of being obstinate, determined, resolute in destroying themselves. And nobody, nothing, unless God by His grace changes them, is going to stop them. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was in Hades. He flees with Abraham to send Lazarus back to the earth to warn his five brothers about the agony of hell. And Abraham said this. He said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. They are so stubborn. They are so set in destroying themselves. A talking donkey or a talking animal won't stop them. And you know what? Even if Lazarus were to come back from the dead, the graveyard was open and he come out of the grave and he came in this church and preached this morning, they still wouldn't believe. They still wouldn't believe. You know, you can think of someone who's been buried, been dead for a few years, and you saw him walk in the church this morning. And he says, you need to change your ways because I tell you what, there's something after death that's just terrible. Some people might change, but some people wouldn't. It wouldn't make any difference. That's what he calls their mad. In verse 14, he calls them accursed children. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. They were the children of God. They still bear that name, children, but they're under a curse. Practically speaking, and there's always room for the gospel, but practically speaking, they're under a curse. They're committed to sin. They're obsessed with self-destruction. And nobody, a talking donkey, somebody risen from the dead to warn them of the future, nobody's going to change them. Nobody's going to stop them. It's like the demoniac in Luke 5. He's described as being bound by shackles and chains. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Self-destruction. And nobody can change you is called being mad in the Bible. Insane. And what we're going to see here is that we're dealing with people who once were in the church, but now have left, and they become mad. And nobody's going to change them. There's nothing you can do. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate a change of heart. You can't legislate a change of mind. You can beat them to death, put them in prison. You can have animals speak to them. You can have somebody raised from the dead to tell them about the agonies of hell, but it's not going to change them. They're not going to change. They're mad. They're insane. They're bent on self-destruction. Peter says in verse 12, he says, they're like animals, beasts of the field. They have no mind, they just have instinct. Verse 12. But these like unreasoning animals. Animals don't have reasoning. Those in the wild born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed. Some animals are born to be captured and killed. That's it. You know, you're not gonna take a wild boar and teach him how to drink tea. in a civilized society. Some animals are born to be captured and killed, and that's all you can say. Like a wild boar, a wild pig, a big rat. We're all better off without them. We're all better off with them dead. Like those fire ants. I don't know much about fire ants, but I hear about fire ants in the South, in the deep South. What good are they for but to be killed? You bite me, you are dead. Let me tell you that, right? That's all they know. To harm themselves and harm other people, destroying others, themselves and destroying other people. We're talking about people that have no shame. There's no shame. Verse 13. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. Most people who have shame at least revel in the darkness, in the night. Most people sin at night. Most people wear toboggans when they rob a store. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Most sinners hide their sin. But these people, they're mad. They're like beasts. Beasts don't care whether it's day or night. They're going to get what they want unless you kill them first. Notice two other characteristics about these people. Verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery. Having eyes full of adultery. Immoral sex is constantly upon their minds. Eyes see sex everywhere and in everything. They are obsessed with immoral sex. Whether it's on the internet, television, or just looking at females or males, they're constantly scheming and planning how to commit adultery or to lead someone else into adultery. They're mad. And you can't change them. Verse 14, their heart is trained in greed. Verse 15, the wages of unrighteousness. You know why they do this much? Because in their mind, sin in this life pays. You get wealthy. Hugh Hefner and the Playboy Enterprise. Hugh Hefner has more money than I've got. Pornography and X-rated movies. Sin pays in this life for a while. Adultery pays big dividends in this life. And the bottom line is the buck. The almighty dollar. And it reminds me of our modern society, in European society. We use sex to sell everything from General Motors cars or Government Motors cars to toothpaste. Commercials on TV verge on being soft pornography. The movie theaters, you don't know what you're going to see. My wife and I attended a movie a month ago and they had previews of things that were coming. We couldn't believe it. A boy kissing a boy? We watched some TV show after American Idol went off called Glee. And some girl was singing, "I kissed a girl and I liked it." What has happened to America? We seem like we're bent on self-destruction and nothing can stop us. We are obsessed with sexual immorality, pushed by the media, selling it to get rich, breaking God's law. Sex sells and it sells big time. And the eyes of Americans are full of adultery and lust. We've gone mad. Now, let me say something that I want to really warn you about. It's bad enough to live in a world gone mad. But the real danger is in verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. And here's the danger. Enticing unstable souls. Enticing unstable souls. You see, not only will the world destroy themselves, but they make it their purpose to entice, allure, magnetize in such a way that they will draw you into their world too. They are not satisfied to destroy themselves, but they desire to take as many souls to hell as they can with them. Enticing there means they want to make it look good, chic, in style, build self-esteem, expose as much of the flesh as you can to draw men's attention and create lust in their hearts. We're doing it. You ought to do it too. They're mad. They're insane. And notice who is in danger. Unstable souls. You know what an unstable soul is? It's a Christian with very little conviction, very little conscience, who needs the world's approval, nominal Christians who are shaky, fragile, and weak in their faith. And if you are that kind of Christian, if you're sitting here today and you don't have conviction, you don't have conscience, you don't have a love of Christ, then you will be enticed to follow right after them. And you'll be destroyed with them. You can be suckered in like a person walking on quicksand. Like a person caught in a tornado. Like a fly on a fly paper. You'll be suckered in yourself. If you are unstable in your faith, if you're playing a game of religion, if you're here today and you're just playing church, you're playing religion, they will have you for supper and they will eat you until you're all gone. They used to call themselves Christians. As we'll see later on, they're like dogs that return to its own vomit to eat. And if you're not stable in your faith, they'll get you too. They'll get you. Not a very pretty picture. Let me conclude with a few remarks here this morning. Let me say, first of all of us have a little insanity in us. You're all just a little bit insane. Obsessions, fears, temptations, even sins. None of us are free of these things, and they make us all feel a little bit out of our minds at times. Most of us have been insane for a little while at some time. We've lost our temper. We've gone out of our mind. For a little while, we act like animals. But what Peter speaks here is of something different than that. He speaks of Christians who apostatize. And he says, as later on, he says, the final state is worse than the first. Peter is speaking of children who are under a curse. Children under a curse gone mad. It appears to be that nothing can be done for them. And about the only thing you can do is stay away from them. It's like a dog with rabies. You know, you go to a dog with rabies, or you go to Old Yeller, and Old Yeller was your favorite dog, and you just can't see Old Yeller being anything else but a nice dog, but he's got rabies. What are you going to do? Are you going to love him back to health? Are you going to grab him and hold him? What can you do? He's gone mad. You got to stay away from him because he'll kill you. Your best friend has gone mad, and he will draw you in with him. And you will die too. Sometimes the best advice I can give you, and what Peter is saying, is don't be enticed to join them. Especially vulnerable or unstable souls, those whose faith is perfunctory, those not serious about God, sin, salvation, even though they are in the church. The best way to protect yourself from mad people like Balaam here is to be strong in your faith, to become stable in your faith. Some practical things. Money gained by immoral practices can become a god. Men, watch your eyes. Make sure that your eyes are not full of adultery. Guard your eyes that you might not sin against God. Women and girls, dress modestly. Don't stir up in men lust. Don't dress in such a way that men are tempted to lust. More generally, stay close to Christ. Be watchful in prayer. Pray daily. Lead me not into temptation. Put yourself and your children under the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the Word. And be diligent to take the sacraments. God feeds us with blessings and also calls us to soberness as we take the sacraments. The world has gone mad. People who used to be in the church have gone mad. They're like Balaam, but like animals. It seems like there's nothing now left but destruction. And apart from the dramatic intervening grace of God, there's nothing that can be done. The only thing I can say to you, if you're weak in the faith, they'll draw you in. Seek to be stable in the faith. Stay close to Christ. Put yourself in God's church, in a good church that will protect you and encourage you and pray for you. And be diligent to take the sacraments. God feeds us with His blessings. He calls us to soberness. He calls us to remember that our strength is in Him. Elsewise, we'll be enticed into the destruction of madmen. May God's Word have its effect in your hearts here today, and give you a strong faith that you will not be enticed by the world, by men gone mad. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we see here this morning what can happen in the world. That men begin acting like beast and animals. They become so mad that even talking animals, even men who would come back from the dead and preach to them, would not change them. They're cursed of God. And apart from your intervening grace, there's nothing that can be done except, O Lord, to protect ourselves. We are weak, and we need your grace. O Lord, make us stable, that we are not enticed to follow in their ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.